All right, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning eager for connection with you, eager for this time together, this intimate time with you. I'm so grateful that we can do this together in this community and have this fellowship with this technology that you've allowed us to have. So grateful for that. So grateful that you call us into relationship with you. And not just any relationship, you call us into intimate connection with you. God, thank you for creating us. Thank you for creating our souls. And God, we know that our souls only find their rest and their satisfaction, their fulfillment in you. And so teach us, show us how to do that. We are a weak and vulnerable and sinful people, but we know through your Son Jesus, because of his sacrifice, because of who he is, as we follow him, we can learn to be like him. We can learn to be like you. We can draw close to you, and we can be your representatives in this world. We can make you known, and what a gift and what a special opportunity that is. God, help us to, at this time, make space for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you have spoken through your prophets throughout the ages, through your word, and that it is for us as a lamp, as a light, as a change agent. It is one of the ways in which you change and sculpt and craft and mold this clump of clay, so to speak, that we are. And so please do that this morning. Help us to open up our minds and our hearts far and wide for you. And as you speak your word to us, help us to listen, hear, to absorb, to take it all in, dwell on it, meditate on it, and then live it out. God, we know that your word is meant to be lived out. And so help us to do that today, each moment of the day, and every day for the rest of our lives. Again, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this community. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, amen. Well, as I mentioned, Psalm 63 is our psalm this morning. And so I'm going to read the English Standard Version. I appreciate this psalm for many reasons, but it is a psalm about desiring God, about seeking God. And there's just such rich language in here, but it also gives us some important insight into, well, what do we do in terms of seeking God? How do we do that? And what does it feel like to really desire God? There's just such rich imagery here, such rich language. So we're going to take a look at that. And I encourage you, as I read it, just figure out and be listening to what the Spirit is putting on your heart. How is it, how is he reaching out to you? And whatever jumps out at you about the psalm, then pick that for your meditation for this morning, because we will have some time to meditate. So Psalm 63, in verse 1, reads this: O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down to the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. Amen. So again, a powerful psalm here. And I'll make a few points from it, and then we'll have some time for meditation. But one of the things that jumps out at me right off the bat is that the psalmist acknowledges, and this is, you know, this is David writing here. And as the text indicates, you know, just before where we read, he was in the wilderness of Judah. He was being pursued by his enemies at the time. He was in a desperate situation. And the first thing that he acknowledges right off the bat is, "Oh God, you are my God." And so he's in this desperate time. He's in a difficult situation. And so he begins with, "Oh God," this first couple words of praise and acknowledging God. And he says, "You are my God." So this is, God is a personal God, right? God is not a God who is far off. God is not a God who is in some, you know, distant universe who drops in every once in a while. No, he is a personal God, and he is our personal God. And that's a great reminder, especially in difficult and challenging times. And then this next statement, "Earnestly I seek you." You know, and in our desperation, we can pursue God kind of haphazardly, maybe a little bit, you know, maybe, you know, here and there. But what David is expressing here is, man, God, you're my God, and I need you. I am seeking you. I am looking for you. It feels like you're far off. I know you are my personal God, but I'm going to find you. I'm going to make that my intention and my desire, is to find you. And then he says, "My soul thirsts for you." And I want to say a few things about this. I mean, I've mentioned this in a prior devotional, but remember, our souls are the deepest part of who we are. It is our essence. Our soul is our being. It is who we are. And God has designed our souls. He's designed us all in unique ways. And I, you know, even looking around the call here, I see so many different souls. God has, you know, intricately woven you together in just the way that you are. And so, you know, it's important to acknowledge and understand, okay, this is who I am. This is what my soul is. And it's important to be in touch with our soul. David, throughout his psalms and other psalmists, talk about the soul. I've heard people say that the psalms are soul language. The psalms are so rich in this soul language. And so David here, as he's writing, as he's praying through this, he acknowledges, hey, I have a soul, and our souls experience different things. And he was in touch with what his soul was experiencing at this time. Sometimes our soul is downcast. Sometimes our soul is in turmoil. I mean, we talked about that last week with Psalm 42. And in this case, David is saying, my soul is thirsty. My soul is empty. There's something not right here. There is something missing. And in this time of struggle, this time where God feels very distant, feels very far off, he's acknowledging, my soul thirsts for you, God, for God. And, you know, sometimes when we experience the turmoil, when we experience the downcastness or struggles that we can experience in our souls, we can question, what am I really looking for? And sometimes we reach for, you know, the wrong thing. And that's part of the human experience, right? Sometimes we reach for entertainment, we reach for food, or we reach for, you know, a chemical. We reach for a person, when really the only thing that is going to fulfill our souls, that is going to quench the thirst in our souls, in our being, is God himself. God has designed it that way. So we've got to be aware of what's going on in our souls. And I would say, you know, during this time of the pandemic and the time of COVID-19, that make sure that we're taking time to step back away from things for a bit and just ask, okay, where is my soul right now? What's going on in my soul? How is God coming to me during this time? Of course, the morning is a great time to do that. The afternoon, and then, you know, in the evening, you know, just taking those different times to step away and ask ourselves, okay, what's going on with my soul right now? And then looking to God for what we desire and what's going on with us. And so he goes on to say, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And, you know, you can imagine the scene here where David is in the wilderness, he's in the desert here, and there's just no sign of water. Everything around him is dry, it's desolate. There's not even a droplet where he is. And, you know, I don't know if you've experienced thirst like that in your life. I mean, I probably can't speak to how David was feeling at this time, but, you know, I go out throughout the day and I get thirsty and, you know, I see, you know, people reaching for their water and, you know, I can get that kind of thirst. But there have been times where I've gotten to a point where, man, I it's not a desire, it's a need. I need a drink of water. And it, you know, it's funny, before some of you jumped on the call, Efren and I were talking about getting lost in the woods, and I've shared lots of stories about that. But I remember a time out for a run. It was a long run, and I had packed water, and I thought I was good to go, and had gone a little too far and was a little bit away from home, and I was out of water. And in my body, I could feel my body starting to faint and starting to become very weary. And the thirst that I felt in my mouth was not a thirst of, man, it'd be, you know, cool to have some water right now. It was a need. And I was in a desperate situation. And so, you know, fortunately, there was a house close by. And so I walked over there. And after the hi, hello, you know, this is who I am. My next words were, I am thirsty. Can you get me some water? And this is the situation that David finds himself in. And when we're in this place of a soul thirst, this is what we need to acknowledge and see. Hey, I'm in a bad situation. I'm there's no, you know, water around. That's what it feels like. But I've got to go to God to get my thirst quenched here. And so this is what David is acknowledging. This is what he's experiencing in his soul. And look what he says next in verse 2. And this is a good model for us too. When we're experiencing times like this, what do we do? So here's sort of the practical thing to do in verse 2. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary. We go to where God is. The sanctuary is just a representation of God's presence, of where God is. And so, of course, God is always in pursuit of us, but we've got to turn our attention and go to where God is. And we do that through prayer. We do that through the word. We can, through reading the word, we do that through fellowship. But we've got to go where God is. We've got to go and look at God and behold his power and his glory. And this is a position of worship. I mean, David is talking about, I'm worshiping you. Even though you feel far off, I'm going to turn my attention to you. I'm going to seek you. And I'm going to worship and praise you. In verse 3, this is a great statement of praise. Because your steadfast love is better than life. Amen to that. That is the kind of God that we serve. That is the kind of God that exists in the universe. A God whose love is better than life itself. And because of that, he says, my lips will praise you. So again, he's in this place of worship. Yeah, he's in this desperate situation. But he's worshiping God because he knows that God exists, that God has the power, that God should be glorified, and God is love. In verse 4, same thing. He's praising God. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. You know, and that's in many ways the antidote, so to speak, of this feeling of emptiness and this feeling of difficulty and struggle, this soul challenge, is to praise God, is to remember God. And this is what he says next in verse 5. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. So there's this sense of lacking still that he's talking about, but he's realizing the answer to that and saying, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. In verse 6, when I remember you upon my bed. Okay, when I remember you, when I retire, when I step away from the difficulties and challenges in life, I will remember you, O God, and meditate on you in the watches of the night. And, you know, that word meditate just simply means to dwell on and mull over the things of God, his nature, his character, of course, his word. But, you know, I think back to verse 2 here. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. That's a posture of meditation. I'm looking upon God. I'm thinking about the things of God. I'm fixing my eyes on God. I'm beholding your power and your glory. Remember, God has all the power in the world, and he demonstrated that in creation. We see his mighty power being exercised there and being used there. We also see that in the cross, and I think we need to meditate on that as well. I mean, the cross, but the resurrection, right? Raising Jesus from the dead. Those are things that are worthy of our meditation. Verse 7, for you have been my help. And so David thinks back to these prior times where he was in a desperate situation, a difficult situation. And how did he get out of it? Who did he look to? What did he do? Well, God was his help. He looked to God. God came through. That's God's character. That's God's nature. It says, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. What a beautiful imagery there. The shadow of your wings, the shadow of God's protection, right? And I think of just a bird, and underneath that bird, the little, you know, baby birds, the weak and vulnerable baby birds, and just under the protection of their mother or of their father. And then he says, my soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. And I love this idea of clinging to God, especially as I think about a child clinging to their father or their mother when they're in a difficult situation where they need some protection. Where do they go to? Well, they go to their parents, this place of safety and refuge and security. And your right hand upholds me. In verse 9, but those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. And the reality for us, so I'll say this, in David's case, I mean, he was being pursued by his enemies. And there were thousands of people that were pursuing David at this time. He was in a tough situation. But he recognized that. He acknowledged that. And what we've got to recognize and acknowledge is that on a daily basis, we are pursued by an enemy. God is absolutely pursuing us, but so is Satan. Moment to moment, you know, situation to situation, Satan is right there. So we may not necessarily feel this, you know, physical enemy, but there is a spiritual enemy that is pursuing us. And, you know, in this time of the pandemic, there is this enemy, so to speak, of the virus that is really disrupting things and is pursuing. I mean, we can feel that pursuit. I read an article yesterday and the title was, this virus is going to infect anybody and attack anybody that it can. And that's the kind of enemy that we're facing here. And in many ways, it's an image of Satan pursuing us. And so we've got to acknowledge that, hey, we're being attacked here too. But look what David says, the confidence in the statement, that those who look to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. Who's got the power here? Yeah, Satan has power, but God is all powerful. God is way more powerful than Satan. And And he demonstrated that power and showed that victory with Jesus on the cross and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of the Father. And so David is expressing this confidence in God, and we've got to embrace that as well, the confidence that God is going to destroy our enemy, our enemies, and those that pursue us. In verse 10, they shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. In verse 11, but the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. Again, the confidence that God will have the victory, that God will be our help, that God has the power and the glory, and God will protect and deliver us. And so what I'm going to invite all of us to do now is to just take a verse or two that struck you, that really stuck out to you during this time. And let's just spend a little bit of time of meditation on it. And then I'll ask for some intentions. What's your intention for the day based on these verses, or based on a verse, based on what you meditate on? And then I'll close us out with prayer. So yeah, just a couple minutes here of meditation as we ponder these verses. And those first steps in meditation, finding a comfortable posture. You can close your eyes, use a soft gaze forward if you'd like, whatever helps you to concentrate. And once you've got that posture, which is extremely important, the next most important thing is to focus on the breath, to settle your breath, settle into your breath, allow your breath to settle your being down. It's amazing the way that God has gifted us with the breath and the ability to consciously become aware of our breath and control our breath. And in so doing, it's a great stress reduction, great calming, soothing strategy. It's focusing on the breath, appreciating it, regulating our breathing, slows us down. It enables us to prepare for absorbing the word. So pick that verse that you want to focus on and just repeat it over in your mind. You can dwell on it. Just let it sink down into your being, from your mind, into your heart, and into your soul. Okay, you can open your eyes at this time. Just come back into the space where you are. You can look around and just become aware of where you are. You can thank God and express your appreciation for His word and the brief time of meditation. And so I'll just ask, for just a couple people to share, okay, what's your intention today? What's your intention today based on what God has spoken to you through His word? Go ahead, Phil.
My intention, I was focused on verse 3, because your love is better than life. I've always loved that verse. And it's a powerful verse because it really expresses how deep God's love is. And when I keep thinking about that, I didn't grow up expressing affection. I've only learned that through my wife, who's very affectionate. So verse 3 leads to 4 and 5, where, we see God's love is so deep. Well, my intention is to do something that's unnatural for me, which is express my love to God, whether it be in through my lips, just praising Him, raising my hands and worshiping Him. Something I've been doing lately, which really spurs on joy in my life, is listening to a lot of music, worship music. Whether it comes from the Chicago church, our church, Denver church, Iris has sent me a whole bunch of Facebook links. And I mean, I've just been doing that a lot, and I find that I'm filled with joy, and it spurs me to praise God and worship Him. So that's my intention.
Amen. That's great. Yeah, that's great. I appreciate that. Just the talented people that create worship music for us to bring us into worship with God. We listen to some worship music through Alexa. She's got some good worship music on there. So that's great. I appreciate you sharing that. I think Hilda had her hand up. Sure did. Hilda, go. She was here and
she had to go.
Oh, she had to go. Oh, that's what she was going to say. Okay. Anybody else as far as intention for the day?
I'll go.
Go ahead. Yeah, Efren, and then Iris can share.
You know, it just make me wonder. I like the outdoors. You can tell that, you know, we spoke about trails. And mm-hmm. You know, this psalm reminds me of, like, you know, I always like to go out. One thing about going hiking is, like, you know, it's the presence of God in there. You can't help but being there. I looked at the verse, I have seen you in a sanctuary and behold your power. Yeah, Cindy and I was hiking on Sunday, and I'd never been to this trail. So it's like, you know, we got into it, and you can see I was gotten lost. But it was just amazing, and how you can get lost in the best of it. You can't help but see the presence of God there. You know, you can see tall trees and big boulders and the stream. You can't help the power of God, you know, His creation of God and the presence of God. And, you know, this verse just reminds me of just try to seek that time. Just seek that relationship with God. We can get caught up. And I there's times that my path where I'm looking down, I'm looking at to make sure my path is, you know, it's good. It's flat, that I don't stumble into stones and there. But, you know, I told Cindy, it's like, stop what you're doing and just look up. And it's like, it's amazing. And how, you know, that alone just kind of takes you away from the worrying of falling or whatever, and mm-hmm. just stop and make, you know, you know, make a presence of, you know, take note of what God has done, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Yeah, that's great. Yep. Stop and smell the roses.
Yep.
Take a minute to appreciate God. That's great. Yeah, I appreciate that, Efren. Yeah, Iris, last one, and then we'll...
Meditating on verse 6 and 7, when he talks about when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help. And just remembering, my intention today is to just remember what God has pulled me from. And to remember, you know, that he's always taken care of me. Mm-hmm. And so that I don't have to be anxious, because I get a lot of bad news during the day, you know, while people calling me and texting me with other stuff. So it just gets me sad, but just remembering that God is going to get us through it, you know. Mm-hmm. He always has, and he always will. So that's where I want to focus on today.
Amen.
Amen. Yep, that's great. Yep, he always has, he always will. And on the other side of this, this is going to be an experience that we'll look back on and feel like, man, remember how difficult and challenging it was? And we felt like, man, when is this thing, you know, going to be over? But he's going to get us through this. We're going to be able to look on back on this time as another thing that God pulled us through. So amen to that. I appreciate the verse. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. That's one that I'm going to hold on to today. And I'll take to, you know, different points throughout the day to do that. But I also want to, even in the midst of the busyness and the chaos, to just, all right, here's what's going on. Here's what I'm feeling. But let me just turn my attention to God for a minute. Let me just look upon him in his sanctuary, beholding his power and what God's able to do in his glory and the expression of that power, the sort of the visibility of his greatness. And he expresses that in so many different ways. Efren talked about, you know, being out in nature. Iris talked about the times that she's experienced that in his life, in her life. And we see that in those places, and we see that in the scriptures. And it's meant to be lived out. God wants to be glorified through us. And so, you know, a great opportunity for us to do that, especially in the midst of this chaos. And it just makes me think of this quote by St. Irenaeus. The glory of God is a human being fully alive. Okay, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. And so I'll end with that, and let me close out with praying through the psalm, and that'll be our time together today. So let's pray. Oh God, you are our God. Earnestly we seek you. Our souls thirst for you. Our flesh faints for you. God, we can feel like we're in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. Help us to look upon you in your sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. God, your steadfast love is better than life. And God, our lips will praise you today and every day. God, help us to bless you and praise you as long as we live. Help us to, in your name, lift up our hands. God, we know that our souls will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and our mouths will praise you with joyful lips when we remember you upon our beds and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you, O God, have been our help, and in the shadow of your wings, we will sing for joy. Our souls cling to you. And God, we know that your right hand, it is your right hand that upholds us. God, those who seek to destroy our lives will go down into the depths of the earth. God, we know that you have the glory and you have the power. They shall be given over to the power of the sword, and they shall be a portion for jackals. But the king, O God, shall rejoice in you. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. Thank you so much for this time, and we do thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.